One cannot imagine the anguish that must have flooded the heart of Eve when Adam brought the news to her that one of her sons had slain another son. Would not that mother, as all good mothers, have given up her very life in order to prevent such a tragedy of happening? Indeed, it is only an insensitive society and an insensitive culture that can imagine a mother not giving everything to have prevented the tragedy, and most especially that what was most precious to her, her very life. And today we celebrate the mystery of Our Lady's sorrows, in which the mother truly does give her life in union with the life of her son for the salvation of men. Simeon tells us that our Lord would separate men, that he would be a sign of contradiction to all generations. And so he prophesizes that hatred from the hearts of those antagonistic to him would be the lot of his life, that the fate of this child, the mother is told, would not be a joyful one, that he would be the sword that would separate, as he tells us himself in the gospel, daughter from mother, son from father, and family from family, that he would truly be a sign of contradiction. And then he proceeds to tell Our Lady that the very sword who Christ is would pierce her own heart. And so we can ask the question, why has God not allowed the Blessed Virgin Mary to enjoy the joys of her motherhood? Why has he not extended those joys a little further, perhaps another week, another month, another year? Or perhaps she would be able to enjoy her child for the whole of his childhood. And if we are to understand this mystery and get to the nature of the answer, we must understand that in the natural order, a sword will sever arteries and sinews. It will pierce the nerves and cause damage to that area in which it is imposed, and from it, blood will flow. But the rest of the body will remain unharmed. But the soul, being simple, there is no parts in it, and so when it is pierced by a sword, nothing of the soul is left untouched, and so the sword who Christ is will pierce to the very depths of the sword that Christ is will pierce to the very depths of the soul of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and nothing of Christ will leave her soul untouched. And so we have a mystery here, because God has allowed the Blessed Virgin Mary to enjoy the joys of her motherhood. And indeed, God has given the Blessed Virgin Mary two streams, a stream of joy and a stream of sorrow, and there is no contradiction in the two. There is only our not understanding them properly, because Christ came, as he said, to give us life, and so he would offer that sacrifice which Adam and Eve would have offered willingly in order to prevent the tragedy of the sin that they unleashed on the world. And so it was entrusted to Christ and Mary to reclaim humanity from the kingdom of Satan and the death that the reign of Satan brings. And so it was entrusted to our Lord to end the reign of death, and in his sufferings and in his sorrows, he does just that, as he can boast, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Because in the union of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, in the Immaculate Heart of Mary, all of the sting of death has been taken. And indeed, Simeon understands this so well. Being a prophet and a mystic, he has penetrated into the very depths. And when we read the account in Scripture, we see in Simeon no regard for the things of this world. He tells us himself, Lord, now you can dismiss your servant, for my eyes have seen the salvation. There is not one shred of fear in the soul of this most noble man over the kingdom of death, for he has penetrated into that mystery of the Sacred and Immaculate Heart of Mary, and so He has no fear. He only looks forward to that death that will free him from the plights of this world, free him from that mixture of joy and sorrow, and so he would enjoy only the bliss of eternity. And so, why is it that God has seemed not to extend the joys of Mary's motherhood? He has extended the joys of Mary's motherhood, and the more she suffers, the more joyful she is, because the Christian life is a joy to the extent that it is a cross, because the Christian life is a life of cooperating with Christ in the salvation of souls. And no one does that in a more unique way than the Blessed Virgin Mary. Having no sin of her own to repair, her union with Christ is also contributing to the salvation of the world in a manner subordinate to that of Christ, but nonetheless meriting for us our salvation. And so, in these mysteries of Our Lady's sorrow, we penetrate into that most profound of all mysteries. No cross, no union with God. And without union with God, there can be no peace and happiness, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And so, if we are to truly strive to be children of Mary, our life must also begin to resemble the life of Mary. And so, we must come to understand that true love is love because it is a deep love, and it is joyful because it is a sorrowful love. It sacrifices itself for the sake of others, and this reaches its pinnacle in the sacrifice of Christ and Mary. Those two hearts united in sorrow and in suffering, and joyful because they know that when their mission is complete, mankind will be reconciled with God the Father, and so the kingdom, the gates of heaven will truly be opened, and the kingdom of hell will be smashed. And so we have only one thing to do in this life: unite ourselves to the joys and the sorrows of Christ and Mary, and thereby by join them victorious in their kingdom, or, shirking the Christian way, we take up the banner of the enemy of souls. And while we may have fleeting pleasures in this life, they are not true pleasures because they are sinful, and the devil has merely convinced us that by entertaining ourselves with them, we are doing good. But in the end, we will have no joy. We will only have the sorrow that comes from the eternal condemnation in hell. We will only have suffering, and indeed, it is perhaps not proper to use the word sorrow, for in hell there is only suffering, because presently Our Lady is still the sorrowful mother, because there is no contradiction between her joy and her sorrow. She is sorrowful for those children who have abandoned the way of the cross and taking up the way of the world. And indeed, we see that there is no contradiction in this, because even in the natural order, we see a mother who on the day of her child's wedding floods herself with tears. And when one asks why she is sorrowful, she answers, she is not, she is joyful. And if one were to ask, why are you joyful, mother? She will say, I am not, I am sorrowful, for I am losing my child. And so we see in the natural order that both joy and sorrow truly can be present at the same time. And so, while Our Lady experiences the eternal bliss of heaven, there is no contradiction in calling her at this very moment the woman of sorrows. And so, let us strive to enter into this mystery of union with God, this mystery of the cross, this mystery of Christ the sword, who will separate men, fathers from sons, and mothers from daughters, and families from families. For he will be the sword that divides and pierces deep and penetrates deep into the very bowels of our soul. And those who understand what it means to suffer, like the Blessed Virgin Mary, will enjoy the rewards of suffering for them in this life in order to avoid condemnation in the life to come. Those who do not understand the joys that come with the Christian life will suffer for all eternity for not accepting that one gift that Christ came to give. And he tells us constantly in the scripture what that gift is. He says, I have not come to sow death, I have come to sow life. And so it is in the very death of Christ and in the impaling of the Immaculate Heart of Mary that we receive our life. And so let us strive in seeking union with them in this life, so that after this life we will come at last to the glory which awaits us with Jesus and Mary in heaven. Amen.